again, everybody.
Here's the message of the Gospels.
People are talking about that pretty often now, and we may even show it a few more times, because it's time to get a revelation of what the kingdom of God is about and who we are and God's objective. There's purpose involved. Everybody agree that God has a mission that is eternal, and the only way he can achieve that objective is through his people. Amen. Does anybody want to see the Lord fulfill his objective? Amen. We all do. And I want to give a shout out to all the life changers here at New Life Fellowship. Amen. Can we give them a great hand clap for how they serve? God bless all the life changers that serve here. That's important that we recognize them. You know, we had a wonderful event here called Passover, amen, a couple of weeks ago. And wow, the ministry that happened during that time and God meeting with us and touching lives, I'm still hearing testimonies from that. And so God just validated he is in us remembering him on that kind of level. You see, the Passover is the one feast day that is a perpetual ordinance forever. And the Lord asks us to do this in remembrance of him, because he gave the greatest price that could be given. And prior to Passover, Pastor Lowe is so passionate about vision of this house and what we represent to our community and how we open our arms to our community and give them the good news message. Come taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen. That remember this, we got several governments in our world, and most all the governments, 100% of them, require work, work, works. But of God's government, it's faith. You see, God is not a man, a God that has a government that's democracy or socialism or whatever government you want to name in our world. His government is theocracy. And he doesn't make anybody do anything. Now, he will give you the truth that will make you free. You choose whether or not you want to agree with it or not. Kind of simple, isn't it? And so at New Life Fellowship, we don't lead here by being in charge. We lead by service at New Life Fellowship. We don't make people do anything. We don't try to give you the idea that we know what good equals. We know that God is good, and we're still learning about his goodness. And so we serve here as leaders. The greatest in the kingdom is the servant. And so in theocracy, God's government, service is how we lead. And I'm kind of a stickler on that. And I don't apologize for it, but the life changers have to put up with me because it's all about mission, vision, and purpose. Why, Pastor? Because he is excellent. And not that I am, but he chooses me to be his platform to demonstrate his excellence. And so I want to say thank you again to our life changers, communications, connections, worship team, productions, kids' life. Everybody that participated, you became the platform for God to demonstrate his excellence. And the people that came during our celebrating him and what he gave so that we could live, they picked it up. Wow, this is safe. This God cares for us. He's not making us do. He's just offering us a life of peace and joy and right standing, not because we're good, but because he's good. Can we give our life changers another hand clap? Amen. For making that happen. Thank you. Thank you. And today on Resurrection Sunday, I want to take advantage of giving the burden he put on me away to you with good news. Amen. God is okay with you asking the question, God, is that you? Anybody ever done that before? Have you wondered what's going on? And you said, Lord, I don't know, but is this you? He wants us to ask, seek, and to knock. Because he wants to talk to us about things we can't comprehend. We can experience it. And after the experience, we can only move into a level of understanding that, I don't know how, but that was God. I can't explain it, but that was Him. And you begin to recognize His fingerprint. Amen. When you begin to rehearse the past in your life and you realize, oh my goodness, He was there all the time. He wasn't beating me up. He didn't cause me no discomfort. He didn't tell me I was a bad guy. He was right there while I was rejecting Him. He was loving me. And some of these things, I didn't know I was rejecting Him. I had become, you know, part of a form of godliness that didn't have much power to it. A lot of works, a lot of policing, amen, a lot of legalism. And there was no ill intent in it that was done in sincerity, but it wasn't freedom in the Spirit. Because when you experience Him, you can't help but walk with Him. And the things that you don't prefer, and let me just encourage everybody. Everybody in this room has preferences. Sit down about 5 minutes, you'll find out I have some preferences that I need to keep under. And every day I get up, I look in the mirror, ladies and gentlemen, and I have to crucify that guy. Because he causes me trouble. But I think he's intelligent, though, because his logic, man, I like to agree with it. But it ain't never worked out for me. Anybody know what I'm talking about? But the moment I hear God's Spirit speak to my spirit, it's this breath. It's like, man, when you speak of the Lord, you're speaking of Yahweh. I mean, He's the breath we inhale, and He's the breath we exhale. When I come into this world, Yahweh. When it's time for me to lay this old body down, I exhale, Yahweh. Amen. He's the self-existent one, and He's in love with you and me. And so we've been given the opportunity to be His platform. And yeah, my take on God is skewed by some things yesterday. And my take on God is very key to the moment I live in presently. Because God has a plan. He wants to work His will through me and be a blessing to someone else. But I might have a perception that I want to bless myself. That guy in the mirror may have convinced me, this is your day. Take it easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. And the Lord's saying, son, if you pay attention, I got something you ain't never ate before. If you just can't hang out with me, you're going to eat, you're going to drink, and you're going to be happier than you've ever been if you just hang out with me. But the enemy's offering us a table that's not the Lord's table. Every day we get up, we have an opportunity to tell the guy in the mirror, or the girl, ladies, in the mirror, you're going to die so that He can live. And when He lives, you talk about blessing. You talk about wow factor. You talk about the evidence of my true identity coming to the forefront. And my day, my best day, your best day is right here now moving forward. And so, yes, we look in the past, and sometimes our take on God is skewed big time and has a lot of religious ideas and a lot of scriptures backing up our idea of God that's not true. How do you know that, Pastor? Because I can take that word called the Bible, the letter, and I can kill with it. Or I can get where in the place I'm supposed to be with heaven, and I can bring life with it. We have a decision every day. It's a theocracy, ladies and gentlemen. He's in charge whether I let Him be in charge of my life or not. Still, He will not choose that for me. I must make the choice. Amen. And so at New Life Fellowship, we believe in the kingdom of God. It's around us and it's in us. And when the kingdom of God in you, you choose to let the Lord come and be king of His kingdom within. From you, that's the reason He went to the cross. The reason He came out of the grave is for you to make a decision, say, come, Lord. and him take up his kingship and sit on the throne of your heart, which is his mercy seat. And from you, he will demonstrate mercy to people you don't want him to demonstrate mercy to. Lord, are you sure? I think I got a better way of handling that. And yet, my greatest need is God. And I need his mercy. And the only way I can experience his mercy today is the way I demonstrate mercy to those he puts in my path. Amen. And I'm just saying to you, ladies and gentlemen, there's no person that's breathing today that if God puts them in your path, that he cannot, through you, demonstrate mercy on a level that will blow your mind. And it's the greatest form of justice of all eternity. Now, I have to admit to you, I don't know how to show mercy on the level of God. That's why his presence is so necessary. Hosting the presence of God is why he went to a cross, died my death, come out of a grave, and told 120. Well, he told about 5,000 plus, but only 120 was, I would say, smart enough to go and hang out until he come back in spirit and feel them. And when that happened, that is the greatest thing that he was after, was to become one again, amen, with Adam. And for Adam to take up his identity and be available for God through him, come on, to take care of God's garden. And his garden includes all of humanity, all the trees of God's garden. Amen. He wants them to be taken care of. And he's not going to be able to do that without me and you. Amen. You know, on the first day of the week, it was customary for the Levites in the tabernacle to sing this psalm. I'm going to read it to you here in Psalms 24 and 1. Reads this way. Now, first day of the week is Sunday. And so they would meet on the first day of the week to sing this psalm. And the psalm goes this way: the Lord, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. The world and all its people belong to him. For he laid the earth's foundation on the seas and built it on the ocean depths. Who may climb the mountain of the Lord, and who may stand in his holy place? Only those whose hands and hearts are pure, who do not worship idols and never tell lies. Sounds pretty strict, doesn't he? But that's not the point. That's not him being strict. He's telling us something here. These people that desire to walk with him will receive the Lord's blessing and have a right relationship with God, their Savior. Who's the Savior, ladies and gentlemen? This is prophetic of Jesus, the one that came. And how did he bless us? With baptism of his Spirit and with fire. He gives us the blessing of his presence. And in his Spirit, I am empowered to have clean hands and a right heart and have a right relationship, not because I'm smart, not because I'm intelligent, not because I'm good, not because I can do whatever, but because he's good. I'm able to connect with him, intersect with him, and join with him in a right relationship. Verse 6, such people may seek you and worship you in your presence. Prophetic. Open up, O ancient gates. Open up ancient doors and let the King of glory come. Who is he talking about here? He's talking about the plan of humanity. Adam is the gate by which God demonstrates his glory in his garden. Adam can name all the beasts of the field and the fishes of the sea and the birds of the air because he only said what he heard his father say? And Adam only did what he saw his father do. I've done some things in my life, ladies and gentlemen, that wasn't him. So who was my daddy when I did them? Not my biological father. No, he was wet behind the ears when he had me. He was still a kid too. How many parents are here that were, you know, schooled on being a parent when you became a parent? You see the humor? It's almost like God's having fun. Our greatest need is God. And so he's able to do these things and receive his glory when we unify with him and agree with him. Yes, Lord, have it your way. And that's called faith. But not only does he give us faith by way of experience, that experience in him creates the kind of dynamic called trust. I've tried it this way before. I did what the other daddy told me to do, and it didn't work out well. You tell me to do something, and I can't, I don't know what to say. It's like, wow, I should have had a V8. And we come to these aha moments because he's ever-present help in time of need. And some of us think, well, I'll let you know when I need you, Lord. Look, every time you take a breath, you need the Lord. You live, you move, you have your being because of what? And look, ladies and gentlemen, last time I checked in the mirror, I'm not getting younger. And the hairs ain't growing back on my head. And I'm not trying to be humorous at the point. I'm just letting you know, life is but a vapor. It appears for a moment, and then it's vanishing away. It's appointed unto this body to go back to the dust from which it came. That's not a bad thing if I have an understanding of really what's going on. That's a celebration. But the celebration can happen when I acknowledge my need is him. This moment that I'm operating in right now, I'm not the pastor. The king of his kingdom within me is the pastor and the prophet and the apostle and the teacher and the evangelist. The way this world gets saved is not because of me. I'm just available. You're available as representatives of your Father. You carry his name. You host his presence. You give him your mouth so that he can speak hope to wherever you go. He's not telling anybody in this room to go save the world. He's asking us to trust him with those that he places in our path. That's why we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He come to set free, to deliver, amen, to people in a place where they accept their true identity and they experience righteousness, right standing, peace and joy in the Spirit. And every passing moment, you can make the decision to say, I'm all in. I'm all in. And all he's asking for is your heart. And then when you give him your heart, you're able now to give him the service that makes you the steward, the representative that he called you to be. And all of his creation, watch him fulfill his grander purpose through humanity. You. He limits himself to that. He will not do it without you. Well, what if I decide not to do it? He'll work with that. And I promise you, he's all wise. He knows how to work with A, B, C, D, E, F, and G decisions. I want to pick A. I want to be wise enough to pick, but I can't be if I don't have him. I need God to give me what I need to make the right choice. Because next thing you know, I'll be following after the riches of this world and pleasures of this life and achieving a status in this world that don't equal the identity he gave me. It's a lot less, and it won't endure. Our hope is in him. Isn't it good that he resurrected and came back and made his abode in us? That you're the temple of the Holy Spirit? He purchased you with his own blood? Wow. And so when people pass, amen, we use scriptures to encourage, you know, the family, and I love doing that. I'm being honest with you, I don't like doing weddings or funerals. I'm just being honest with you. I tell the elders, I tell my wife, I don't like doing funerals and I don't like doing weddings. And I don't. But I love seeing the hand of the Lord touch the people in the funeral this morning and the couples that don't know what they're really getting into when they get married. I didn't know what I was getting into. I'm thankful I got into it today because it was very important that I have her and Jesus keep working on me. God, is this you? Y'all don't know how many times I said that, and I probably don't know how many times she said it. And he was okay with the question. He needed me to get honest with him so that he could help me, amen, see what he's seen and heard that was so beautiful, because she was my fox. But he's seen something bigger. He's seen something more precious that I've seen, and I needed him to show it to me. And only he could do it. But I had to get honest. And I had to realize that me being not okay and it being her fault was a lie. Is this helping anybody today? Resurrection Sunday. God, is this you? So there's three things that I would encourage you to be challenged with today after me reading Psalms 24. Lift up your head, O ye gates. Remember, if you really want to know, is that you, God? Then you'll need to experience, number one, God owns it all. You don't own nothing. I'm going to tell you now, the enemy's going to try to convince you do. He's going to try to tell you need to build bigger barns and fill them up and eat, drink, and be married and take your ease. He's going to try to convince you that, you know, when you retire, then you can probably work for Jesus at that time. Let me encourage you. He wants to bless you more than you can imagine, but he needs you to be who you're designed to be so that if you will let him be in charge, he will wow you with what you're about to experience. There's no amount of wealth or pleasure in this world that can equal what God's ready to give us. But he'll let us try it, taste it, and touch it, and try to hoard it until we get sick of it. And they said, Lord, I guess you are what I need. Help me. And he is so merciful and so long-suffering and so patient. He'll wait till we're old and then make us kids again. Amen. Number two, not only does he own it all, but you're accepted because he loves you. But you don't understand, Pastor. I've messed up. I've messed up so bad. I know God is not interested in me. Yeah, and I've heard those voices too. But he never loses his passion for you. He trusts you with wherever you've been challenged with, whatever road you've walked, whatever ugly you've been involved in. He trusted you because he knows that when he brings you out of it, you're going to be long-suffering and compassionate to those that have been run over by the steamroller too, that have been impacted by life as you've been impacted, that have been hit with sickness as you've been hit with. Your heart will bleed for them, and your arms will be his arms, and you will bring them in. God's so good, isn't he? But not only that, thirdly, he chooses you as his representative to reach others. There's people in my path that God has placed there because he trusts me that I'm going to open up and let him come in to them and talk to them. Y'all got to catch this. Everybody in this room is a gate. You either open up to the kingdom of God or you open up to the kingdom of hell. The kingdom of hell is in the earth right now, and everybody in this room has experienced it. Anybody ever been fearful before? Anybody ever worry? Does doubt get a hold of you at times? You get heartburn and you're ready to reveal that I got two bits in this now. I want to give you my opinion. Anybody ever felt like that before? And we'll give our opinion based on our personal perception. And while we're doing that, we think that's us. And it's not us. It's another voice speaking from us. And it's not the kingdom of God. God designed me to be a gate that opened up to him to come. And I only say what I hear him say. And I only do what I see him do. And I become a steward of his grander purpose, his mission. Amen? It's just tracking. So important for us to get this because the kingdom of hell is at work right now. And many people that go to church, and several of you here in this church right now, in this building, this is not the church, this is the building. The church is the people. But you're sitting in this audience right now, and you're wore out because the kingdom of hell has influence in your life. And God is okay with you today saying, God, is this you? Because he has a direct word of hope for you today that's going to set you free from that. There's life changers here today that have joined with me in the ministry of this house, and they said, Pastor, we're going to be open gates today. And so I don't know how, and we don't know how Daddy does it. You don't know. But he meets us. Does anybody feel the presence of God in this room right now? Whew. Just the atmosphere. It's okay, there's something more going on here than I can put together. And it can be overwhelming to your mental capacity and your flesh and your logic. It don't compute. But your spirit man, the inner part of you is going like, man, what is going on here right now? And it's that dynamic that's the breath that when we agree with it, regardless of understanding it, things come to our spirit. And the Lord prompts you that to speak something that, and you don't understand why he's saying it, but you need to say it to this person or that person. And it's always encouraging. It's always productive. It's always life-giving. If anything you say don't equal that, it ain't coming from Daddy. It's a religious spirit that goes to church, and sometimes we'll get in agreement. Pastor Lewis, Resurrection Sunday, why are you talking like this? I'm telling you, religious spirits go to church. Okay, Pastor, be careful now. You're talking about devils now. No, I'm talking about how the enemy doesn't like you and how he won't stop. We don't give him glory. We don't give him the time of day. We don't thank God that we have power over the devil. He said, never do. You thank me that you have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that I chose you. But when we're having thoughts that come to us that want to encourage, to build up, to edify, to strengthen, to bring hope, amen, that is the king that's within, trying to release, amen, to the people he's in love with, hope, and give them their identity back. You know, most funerals use Psalms 23 as the message to the funerals. You know, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. We're preaching this message for the dead. No, we're not. This passage in Psalms 23, I want to read some of it to you anyway. Verse 1, David is writing this because he understands what it is to be a shepherd. And he gets a revelation of the Lord being the great shepherd. And in the Spirit, in his worship time, he begins to write this psalm out about the Lord is my shepherd. Now, if you've never been a shepherd, you don't understand. You had to go do some reading. You had to go do some study. You'll have to get some downloads to understand why David is writing this, because when he says the word Lord, he is saying Yahweh. You're not even supposed to speak that if you're an Israelite. But here he is. He's using Yahweh, and he's saying Yahweh is my shepherd. David, be careful now. You've just demoted him. No. Everybody in this room has a take on God, on how you see him. And David, by way of experience, gets a revelation of God being the shepherd. And here he is, he's writing this song. And it reads this way, the Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. Reading from the NLT. I have all I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths. Bringing honor to his name. He's leading me. I'm following. Amen. I'm all on board with. And while I'm following, he is honored. His name is honored by me following him. Does anybody want to honor the Lord today? And so, even when I walk through dark valleys, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod, your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. All this is prophetic. My cup overflows with blessings. Come on, out of, like a river from inside coming out. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my... This is for the living. But we have John 10 where Jesus picks up where David leaves off and begins to say, I am the good shepherd. And in this Psalms, you never hear about the shepherd that speaks. You hear about the shepherd that provides, protects, he keeps, he blesses, but he's not speaking. Jesus comes along, and notice what he says in John 10 and 2. But the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper, I'm talking to gatekeepers here. Anybody want to be God's gatekeeper? The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. I want you to get this. If you ain't heard him talk to you about who you are, and you hadn't heard him call you by name, I'm letting you know today, you can. And it's important I say it just like that to you, so that you'll consider the possibility, the Lord wants to call me by name? The Lord wants to speak directly to me? Yes, it's important that you consider that. The moment you begin to consider it, you'll feel something. Okay. Now, the important thing is for us to get this revelation that once you begin to consider the Lord as high and lifted up and his train filled, he don't lose any battles. That your daddy is the biggest daddy and that he don't make no junk. He knew what he was making when he put you together. That he can give you the kind of ear to hear what the Spirit is saying to you. And that in hearing comes experience. And with experience comes empowerment. And with empowerment comes trust. And the greatest form of worship begins to spill out of you because you trust him now. You reckon our daddy wants us to trust him? I know I'm a decent father. I wanted my children to trust me. Jump, I got you. I didn't want them to jump and me just back away and say, I tricked you. That's not a good daddy. Daddy's asking us to trust him, and he has us covered. And he wants you to be able to talk about him as your daddy. Y'all got to catch this. It's so important. He wants you to believe that you got the best daddy that's ever been. My daddy never tells a lie. He never messes up. He's the strongest daddy that's ever been. I mean, he wants you to talk about him being your daddy. He wants you to trust him in being everything you can imagine him being, because he's that and more. And if you're not at that place with God, and you're in a place right now where you're doubting God and that you don't know if God's for real, and the enemy knows how to trick, don't he? He's a manipulator. His mode is to control. And he wants to dictate your life and make it less than something you can talk about. And I know plenty of people that I love dearly that tell me, I don't have much to talk about. My life is kind of messed up, and it's kind of, I don't have any good stories to tell. And I feel like the Lord's against me. Who told you that? Where did you get the idea God was against you when he went to the cross and paid your debt off, died your death, come out of the grave and said, now get ready, you're about to live? Why would he go to all that trouble if you were the only one that was on the face of the earth? He would die just for you, and he did. Because we're Adam. We're Adam. He died for Adam. And we're members of one body, and it's his body. He wants his body back. Pastor Lowe, don't get too theological right now, King. Look, Jesus made it clear. The foxes have their holes, and the birds have their nest, and I made sure of that, and they're taken care of. I'm making sure I cover all the details, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. And what he's saying is, I know somebody's saying, well, he didn't have a house, he didn't have a bed. Yeah. Go pay attention to Jesus now. He's looking for his body. The church is his body. What man ever hated his body? Why is Paul writing that? So that the man would love his wife. Jesus came as the head looking for his body. And he comes back out of a grave, goes in the clouds, finishes the glorification, comes back in spirit, and now it's Christ in us, the hope of glory. Anybody want to walk in glory? Oh, well, some of these days, one of these days I would know, no. This is the day the Lord hath made. Now is the appointed time. The reason you can clap and you can agree with that, because there's something in you called spirit DNA. God put it in you, and something inside you went, yeah, that's right, that's right. Well, no, that's the kingdom that's within you waiting on you to say, I'm open. Here's your gate, Lord. I'm open. Come on in. He calls his sheep by name and leads them out. And notice verse 4. After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him. And because they know his voice, they won't follow a stranger. And they run from the stranger because they don't know his voice. He calls them to go out. Did you know that you were called out of darkness into marvelous light? Not to come into a building and hide, but the shepherd calls you to go out. He leads his sheep out. Why? Because there's sheep of his fold that's not in it yet. And the only way he can get them in it is he needs his flock. Amen. To inspire them coming together, going house to house, breaking in bread, fellowship. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep, and they know me. Just as my Father knows me, and I know the Father. Come on, anybody want that kind of relationship with him? My sheep know me just like I know my Father. Whew, can it be like that, Pastor? the Lord can't lie. And I can tell you it's the truth. When I'm hosting God's presence, I get a knowing. My wife will tell you, she can't move me. She says one thing about my husband, Dwayne. When he knows this God, you can't move him. Why? Because I've got this unction, and I'm not willing to let it go for anything. And I know if I'll hold on, whether she likes it or not, she's going to be blessed. If I stay the course, whether she likes it or not, because I'm not making her do anything. I'm not demanding she do anything. I'm just going to follow. And the best way for anybody in this room to be God's leader is to follow. Leading don't mean you make anybody do anything. That's a lie. Leadership is not cracking the whip. It's not policing people. It's not any of that. Leadership is when you're in the Spirit and you're following your Father. And when it's pushing against you, you hold steady because He never fails. We're not in this to love one another by controlling each other. We love one another by encouraging each other to communicate what Daddy's saying. And when we hear another brother or sister saying something that's not like our Father, we know that there's another voice there. We're encouraging them to reconsider what they're saying. Because as a man or woman thinks, if they get out, you're taken captive by your own words. You're snared by your own words. So, ladies and gentlemen, hear me. You have what it takes to hear the voice of God. And God wants to confirm today some things to you. And He already has in this service confirmed some things. And you're clapping and you're, yes, and maybe you didn't clap, but inside you went, oh, that's right. I don't know why I know that's right, but it's right. I can't explain it. You sense hope. You feel the tug. Amen. I can give you a few examples here real quick of how the Lord has caused me to get a face like Flint on a few things. There's a few things I don't have a face like Flint on that God's working on right now, and he's finishing what He started. But when my wife and I were, when we arrived in San Antonio, we were still saying, God, is this You? We're saying it underneath our voice, and yes, this is the Lord. We had plenty of evidences that said, it's the Lord, it's the Lord. But He was okay with me being honest with Him. Lord, I'm just double checking. This is normal. What we're doing, I don't see it happen in a lot of places. I know they're doing it, but I'm just double checking. Is this You, Lord? And me and my wife goes over to visit World of Pentecost at that time. They have a different name now, Pastor Sides. And we're sitting in the service, and he has Freddie Clark there. And Freddie Clark is he loves hosting the presence. He loves preaching out of John, the love of God. I kind of like that too. And so my wife and I are sitting there, and Freddie Clark sees me and has me stand up and come down front. And now it's a full group there, about 500 people. So I come down front, and he opens up my coat, takes my tie and throws it over my shoulder. He said, yeah. He said, I see it. It's written across your chest, Pastor. And y'all, Pastor Sides needed that to happen. He needed that to happen. I needed that to happen. And after service, Pastor Sides comes up. He says, man, he said, guess we know you belong here in San Antonio. Well, I go probably a year later. Packed out again, my wife and I, sitting. He comes into the audience. Freddie Clark's there. He don't remember me again. He don't remember who I am. I was getting old fast, losing hair fast. And so he goes down into the audience, goes into the side, has me stand up. Tammy's sitting there, opens my jacket up, throwed my dime back. He said, man, I see it written here, pastor. I'm like, he's got to remember. Who said there's something else written here? Prophet. He said, oh, God ain't through writing on you. Now, I'm saying this because we're all special. If you find out what his plan is, it's huge that he wants everybody in this place right now is so special to him. When you say things like that, this talking about, amen, I've come into fellowship with him on the level that now he can use me in my identity to be his servant. Now, I'm his son. I'm a child of God. I'm royalty. I'm a king. Same as you. But the way we serve as kings and priests in the kingdom of God is theocracy. We serve. We don't lord over. We don't dictate. We don't convince people to work hard. Honey, you need to work harder at pleasing me. I'm not happy as I want to be. I believe you can make me happier. I know we laugh and keep from crying. And I may have never said that out loud to her, but the enemy come and spoke that voice. Like, you lying, but boy, she'll knock me out if I say that. She got superpowers. Is this helping somebody? That confirmation set my face like flint more. Oh, you ain't. And I'm just telling y'all, I wanted to resign several times from San Antonio. The logic in me said, man, why hang out there, man? That city don't love Jesus. I'll go somewhere else, find somebody that loves Jesus. And that ain't God talking. But the Spirit saying, it's all good, son. I'm just finishing what I started in you. You love me? I love you. You want to love me? Yeah, Daddy. Well, just love on the people I put in your path. Quit worrying about all that other stuff. Does that help anybody? There's people in your path. And he was saying, open up, son. You're the gatekeeper. Open up. Let me in so I can go talk to them. Just the ones in your path, son. Not telling you to save the world. You're not the Messiah. You're part of my body. I just need you to be available. You're the gatekeeper. Let me in. Confirmation, validation. There's gifts here today that want to operate a word of knowledge, a word of truth that comes to you through wisdom and faith. And so our church, man, we're on this little land and it's helping somebody here. And I'm just going to tell you, the note on this property is like, it was huge. Like $25,000. It was pathetic. And the Lord said, trust me. I said, well, but Lord, you said we're not supposed to be in debt, and you're telling me to go do this? That's not you. And then he confirms it through other people in my life that validate, because he wants to show me something. He owns it all. It looks like you in debt. You ain't, son. I want to show you I own the banks. I mean, I ain't getting it. I'm thinking, man, no, I don't. I'm not supposed. It's supposed to be a zero balance, Lord. No. It's supposed to be money in the bank, Lord. Money in the bank. Not no money in the bank and a bill. And so I'm having this real talk with him. I'm being honest with him. I can't do this. My name's on the dotted line. Why the bank done that? God. But I don't believe in debt. But I'm obeying God. And he's showing me he's the one in charge. He's the one that if I let him, he'll be in control. Not only that, he accepted me because he loves me. And the plan is he's going to reach a bunch of people through me. It wasn't about a building. But I'm still being honest, and I'm sitting over there on this side at the playground under that oak tree in my vehicle whining. Because we got to write this puppy out and send it, and it ain't there. And Mike Smith, anybody know Mike Smith? He said, Pastor, look, call this number. It's a brother that I personally know, and Just call this number and tell him who you are and don't say nothing and see what the Lord says. Say, call this number, person I don't know, and just tell him who you are and wait. Now, that was a word of knowledge from Mike Smith to me. And I'm calling a number. Y'all got to understand my religious influences. I'm calling a number to a person that probably ain't saved based on my religious impacts, you know. Because you have to have so much of God and doctrine and got to do certain things before you can be saved, right? The Lord had to set me free from that too. So I called this number, and on the other end, he answers. And I said, look, Mike Smith told me to call your number. I'm Dwayne Lowe. I serve as pastor at New Life Fellowship or in Universal City. And he said, good that you called. And it got silent. And that silence turned into a miracle because he says, I see you sitting there. I think that's witchcraft, brother. He said, you're concerned about the finances. The Lord's telling me to tell you he's got that covered. Quit worrying about that. He wants you focused on. Anybody focused on something you shouldn't be focused on? But you don't understand. I need to be focused on this. That's where I was. And there's no peace and joy in that. That's not the kingdom. And he said, the Lord told me he's going to take care of that. He's already told you he's going to take care of it, but I'm confirming he's got it. Relax. So I gather up my resolve in my spirit after the conversation. And this man, he just went on and said several things about what God's doing, just validate, confirm. And my spirit, man, was just, yes. And I was able to go in and say, it's all good. Let's write the checks out. It's all good. God's got this. And I mean, God was sending people and stirring on people to cover that. And he said, quit worrying about that. You focus on my purpose. I need you to get deliverance of the way you think about that, son. You think you need to be in charge of finances, and I want you to let me be in charge. And I'm going to say this clearly. God is not interested in you being in debt. Debt is not the kingdom of God. But there's some elements of the kingdom of God he wants to bring out of you. And you've got to realize, one thing you must realize if you want to walk in peace and joy and right standing with him, number one, he owns it all. He owns it all. You're accepted because he loves you. And thirdly, if he's going to get through to this world, he's limited himself to do it through you. Open up your hearts. Lift up your head, O ye gates, and the Lord will come in. Now, some of you need confirmation today, even beyond what you've already gotten. Don't be satisfied that Pastor Lowe gave a little sermon today. If it equals that, you need to come up front. But if you've heard from heaven today, God wants to use you to people around you and your path to give a word of faith to, a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom, even that bring miracles and sets them free from their way of thinking. Could we stand? The prayer team would come. Look, there's some life changers coming up here. And if you believe anything that's said today, and if you're saying in your spirit, Lord, is that you? If inside you're screaming, I need to know it's you, Daddy. Just come hang out close by. And I promise you, he'll meet you through those that are willing to open up the gate. And you'll be specially blessed today. Could you come down for you that want to get the extra blessing, the extra confirmation? Meet me down here and let's see what the Lord will do. He's as big as you'll let him be. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for confirmation. Thank you for clearing out the debris, the lies that the enemy speak to our spirit and try to steal our faith. Thank you right now. that as we move forward, you meet us there with a more direct word of hope. Come and receive it today. Get your miracle. Leave today on fire for God. God bless you.